we can always tell when the season is changing, because generally around this time of the year, the weather gets a lot colder. The temperature drops, and we think about things related to the season in that sense. Today, we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, not a something that occurs in nature, but it is something that occurs naturally in people.
Well, yes, there's at least a consensus in the scientific community that depression can follow a seasonal pattern. That is, at least for some individuals, they're more prone to depression in the winter months. And for some individuals, they might experience sort of recurrent depressive episodes in the winter months year after year. So there's been quite a bit of work in the psychological and medical community to get a better understanding of what this pattern might mean and whether or not it's distinct from, you know, depression we see all times of the year.
I know what my grandparents and great aunts and uncles would say. They would say, well, it's cold outside, you're staying indoors, and of course you're going to be depressed staring at the same four walls all day. I heard that many times in my life.
You know, like many things we talk about, there's some wisdom in what our grandparents share with us. And I think that really does connect with one of the most well-understood and scientifically supported models of depression. It's a pretty simple one. It's called behavioral activation. And it's really the simple idea that we tend to be happy and engaged in our world when we're doing lots of things and coming into contact with all of the sort of natural reinforcers and rewards that are out there for us in the world. And so we sometimes use reinforcers and not rewards, because it doesn't mean all just good things. You know, we're not always getting candy or random checks in the mail and things like that. Sometimes things like, you know, finishing a work assignment, shoveling the driveway, planting some flowers, taking the trash out, these are all things that give us some sense of accomplishment, connection with the world. And it turns out that's really important for our psychological well-being. And so there is lots of evidence now sort of coming together to suggest that within depression, one of the major drivers of it is this sort of psychological narrowing of the world, right? Where there's just less reinforcers available. People are getting less from doing things. And it makes sense in that sort of environment, that psychological environment, to withdraw and turn inward. And so that's one piece of this puzzle, absolutely is sort of how we're spending our time, what we're doing, and actually supports one of the most common recommendations for seasonal pattern depression, which is lifestyle change, right? Especially in more Nordic and Scandinavian countries, we're seeing that as one of the most frontline prevention technique for seasonal pattern depression is simply sort of altering your lifestyle to make sure that you can stay active and sort of build activities even in the winter months when the days are shorter, it gets colder, and maybe you want to kind of hunker down a bit more.
Well, what about all of the puzzle pieces that our relatives didn't talk about?
Yeah, great. And there's definitely quite a bit of research now looking at the biological side of things. And one of the leading sort of contenders for understanding this phenomenon has been focused on the role of sunlight, right? We know that in the winter, the days tend to be shorter. And so there's a major theory sort of looking at seasonal pattern depression that holds that the sunlight is key, right? That sort of reduced sunlight could lead to vitamin D deficiency and could lead to changes in neurotransmitters and different sort of chemical processes in the brain. You know, this is where the story gets a little bit tricky, though, is that while there's some evidence for these seasonal patterns, it doesn't always hold the way we'd like it to. And one of the things is, for example, in the United States and Canada, often there are these pretty clear patterns of depression's more common. These sort of symptoms are more common in the winter months. So a recent study last year in Canada suggested that, you know, December, January, February are the highest depression months. You know, so when talking about how maybe doctors and mental health professionals need to be more ready to treat depression in those months. So we see this pattern, but it may not be sunlight that's driving it. Because one thing we know is the further you get away from the equator, the more you get to the poles, the more pronounced the differences in sunlight and the darkness are in the winter. Right? So some places up near the Arctic Circle, you could have darkness for months on end. Right? And there's been some highly influential research published in the 90s and early 2000s in Norway, for example, that showed that the seasonal pattern wasn't occurring there. You know, the place where you would expect to see even more clear evidence of the seasonal pattern of depression wasn't really showing up in those studies. And so this is where the story gets a little complicated. We know that many folks experience depression in this sort of seasonal pattern. We know that could be things related to light and these sort of biological events, but the evidence isn't consistent that light is the key, right? And it could be that this is a more complicated phenomenon. One thing we know is we like it when we can find a simple single cause for a disorder, right? Depression's caused by this. And for a while we said depression's caused by a chemical imbalance. Unfortunately, it's a great story, but the evidence doesn't support it. And I think this is another case where science suggests that it's a more complex picture, that light could be a place, that sunlight access could be a piece of this, biological predisposition, genetics, and then the brain absolutely play a role. But the environment also is important, too. And the piece you kind of came down to is important because it's probably the one where we have the most control over, right? How we, so if you think about prevention, we can talk about how we can sort of build in activities and make sure that we try to stay active in the winter months to make it so that we might be less susceptible to depression.
Are single people more susceptible to seasonal affective disorder than married couples or people with a long-term committed partner?
That's a really great question. And, I'm not entirely sure. What we do know is that, in general, social support is one of the single best protective factors for a whole variety of psychological disorders, and certainly for depression. And we know, for example, that romantic rejection, divorce, or termination of relationships can be a major risk factor for depression. So I think you're onto something there. And I imagine that we have data that can support that. That, yes, having meaningful relationships could be romantic, but it could be family relationships, it could be friendships, can be a big part of what sort of buttresses us or protects against maybe some of these risk factors for depression that seem to be a little stronger in the winter months. So, I think now as we're kind of getting up on the holidays and then we're getting some colder days, now is a good time to think about, what do you have in your life and can kind of help you get that social support, and also how you can be a support for others during the holidays and kind of give them, different activities. It doesn't have to be anything big. It could be simple as, getting together for a cup of coffee, taking a quick walk, just calling and touching base with a friend you haven't heard from in a while could be ways to kind of help build a community that can make us more robust and kind of protect us against depression as well.